Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper, host of The Splendid Table. Good cooks know that preparing a great meal takes first-rate ingredients, time, and a bit of creativity. Well, it's the same for great public radio. The recipe is simple. Interesting music and stories, commitment to the task, and imagination. Oh, and one more thing. Your dedication and support. Your membership makes it possible for this station to deliver the great programs that you hear week after week. They can't do it without you. So become a member now and continue to feed your mind.
The stress of it. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. And as a nonprofit public radio station, we rely on listeners like you for more than half of the station's funding. If you're already a contributor, thank you so much. And if not, I'm asking you to make that very first contribution right now by making that phone call to 513-419-7155. You can also contribute at WVXU.org or WMUB.org. And again, the number to call to make a contribution, 513-419-7155. From balancing your checkbook or monitoring your credit score to finding a new job or adjusting your investments, there are several steps you can take right now that will help improve your financial situation over the next year and in the years to come. And joining us to discuss some of the financial resolutions you can make and actually keep as we enter 2017 are Foster and Motley investment manager Ryan English and Chris DeSimio, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. You can join us in the conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ryan and Chris, good to see both of you this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Chris. And before we get started, this has been a pretty big day, a pretty busy day in terms of numbers that are coming out.
A veritable cornucopia.
Okay.
this morning, we got a look at the consumer price inflation figures for December. They were up 0.3%, stripping out the volatile food and energy, up 0.2%. We also got industrial production numbers. They were better than expected, up 0.8%. The consensus was up 0.6%. And factory capacity utilization was 75.5. Consensus was 75.4. So this is an economy. It's not a thoroughbred yet. It's not racing around to the finish line or down the back stretch. But it's still that plow horse. It still appears to be going forward. Later on today, in fact, within 20 minutes, we'll get the beige book of Fed economic indicators. And then at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Fed Chairman Yellen will be speaking. So other than that, there's nothing going
really
on.
Really nothing going on. Kind of a dull,
quiet day.
Yeah. Yeah.
The beige book, Chris, what does that typically reveal?
Well, a beige book is... It's several reports, and Ryan, of course, has more all the initials here, too. He can chime in on this. But the beige book is what the Fed uses to make policy with and decide on policy and talk about policy. So it's reports from the various federal districts, the Federal Reserve districts from all over the country.
And it's all dealing with economic activity and strength.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's a composite, really, of all of them, as opposed to like the Philadelphia Fed or the New York Fed or the Richmond Fed coming in with their various regional reports.
So it's January 18th, Chris. We're not quite 3 weeks into 2017, but this is a good time, isn't it, to start looking ahead to what to do with your finances in the year to come.
Right.
What's a good starting point?
Well, I would say for starters, it's a good time if you have not yet done it to start gathering information for your tax return, and you can then look to see, well, how much interest did you pay on your mortgage? How much money did you give to charity? Where did your money go? This is a good time to be doing that. This is where your annual financial statements will come to you. And many times those are more detailed. So the credit card companies will give you your annual statement. And you can see if you're trying to save points, trying to gather points to use for flying or whatever, you can see how you've been spending your money. So it's a great time to start crafting. Budget is a dirty word, but your spending plan, as we were reminded on this show months ago, it's a good way to take stock of what you're doing, and it's also a good time to look at where you are now compared to where you were last year, and to help figure out where you want to be next year.
Yeah, it's a good time to review your financial plan. Think about your plans for retirement. Have those changed? Also, to review your investment objective, your asset allocation. You should look to aggregate your accounts and see how much do you have in stocks, how much do you have in bonds, how much do you have in cash. The markets had, you know, a great run over 2016. Maybe it's time to rebalance the portfolio and pull those targets back in line.
Yeah. And I would also suggest that if you believe that interest rates may be heading higher and the year-over-year inflation numbers were the biggest in 4 or 5 years, with the release of the December figures this morning, it was over 2% inflation, which is the kind of thing we would have prayed for 10, 15 years ago. But now, with the economy having come out of its slump, it's a sign that things are picking up a little bit. But if you believe that interest rates are heading higher, you can try to do it yourself using some of the online services, but punch in your mutual funds, your bond funds in particular, or ask your financial advisor, what kind of interest rate risk are you shouldering at this particular moment, and ask about what's the duration of my bond portfolio.
It's also a chance to look at the individual positions in your portfolio, because if you have, if you owned equities, the market's done very well over the last many years in this bull market, and you might have some positions that have grown in size relative to your overall portfolio, and they have large unrealized gains. If you would like to scale them back or think that they might be overvalued at this point, selling in January makes sense from a tax perspective, because it's the longest time horizon you will have before you have to make that cash outlay to the IRS in 2018.
Interesting point. Yeah.
You brought up something interesting too, Ryan, about thinking about consolidating your accounts, looking at what your investments are, because my bad habit is I tend to want to buy everything.
Right.
Inside. If you look at my my retirement plan, I have one of everything in it.
Uh-huh.
So this is probably a good time to look at it and say I should maybe consolidate some things and not be I think I took diversification to an extreme, Chris.
It's possible. But another thing that's important is to talk about, is to think about the concept of rebalancing, because over the last 4 or 5 years, the American stock market has done considerably better than foreign markets, even though we do not account for a majority of the world's equity valuations. And if you believe that you should have some kind of foreign exposure, let's say that your stated goal was to be 2/3 U.S. and 1/3 in international, and you had not done any kind of rebalancing, you may well be 75% U.S. now to 20-25% international, just because of the rally that's been underway here in the U.S. Versus what has not happened. It's been a choppy place in foreign markets. So, over that same time stretch. So making sure that you are rebalancing and looking at it with a cool, clear head and not after seeing something on TV or hearing something on the radio. Just find a nice, quiet time to look at your portfolio. And there are so many wonderful tools available for financial advisors or for individual investors to go online and try to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Does it make sense to combine several IRA accounts into one, or is it okay to just to keep several different ones going? I guess it would just depend upon what you're trying to accomplish, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's, it's much easier to consolidate. It's much simpler, easier to manage. I mean, when you can combine several IRAs, I believe that you should do so. Just makes managing money a lot easier.
Yeah, the analogy that sticks in my head is clearing the clutter out of the house.
But sometimes, depending on where you are in life, there's a reason not to do that. For example, if you're in your 30s or mid-40s and you're changing jobs, and you may have needs for cash in the next 4 or 5 years, let's say you have children who are heading to college, if you take your IRA distribution, your 401k distribution from your former employer, you can aggregate that with your other IRAs, but the minute you do that, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to then roll that back into a 401k plan with your new employer, because 401k plans can have advantages in terms of liquidity. 401k plans, many of them have the ability to take a loan out against them that's not a taxable event if you handle it correctly, whereas you can't do that with an IRA. So it's always, before you push the button, it's always a good idea to ask, what are the ramifications down the road?
Mm-hmm. What would be next on your list as far as what you would do in 2017?
Right.
Well, I mean, I would say you should look to adjust your retirement contributions. You know, speaking about 401k, I mean, likely, you know, employees, they get a raise. It goes into effect in January of this year. And if you're comfortable with the level of spending you had in 2016, maybe you should, if you can, contribute more that raise or a portion of that raise towards increasing your 401k contribution and your savings.
Mm-hmm. Emergency fund. That would be, I think that would be a big thing to try to set up in 2017.
If you don't have one.
Right. Not when I don't think too many people have these.
Many people are without them. And it's the kind of thing that keeps you away from the more expensive options of money. It's the thing that may keep you away from having to dip into your 401k or from keeping you from payday advance kinds of situations or other high-cost alternatives. And there's no rule of thumb. Some people say 6 months expenses. Some people say a year of expenses. Some people have a flat number. It's $10,000. Remember that a number of years ago when interest rates were much higher, there wasn't as big a penalty for maintaining money in an emergency fund because you were getting paid for it. But now with interest rates still, I mean, the yield on the 10-year treasury is about 2.36%. The yield on shorter term savings is coming up a little bit, but it's not very much. So there's a balance that needs to be struck there, but you should always know. It's kind of like checking into a motel. Know where the exit signs are. Know how to, if you have to get out quickly, if you have to get your hands on money quickly, know how to do it. Know where it is.
Yeah. And some people might say, well, if you think of 3 months worth of income, 6 months worth of income, whatever you might arrive at, that can seem pretty daunting to a lot of people. So I guess this is something where even if you just take that first step and start building this up gradually, that's a good resolution to keep this year.
Yeah, I mean, start, you know, anywhere is a start, and it was good. And I mean, it's really what you're comfortable with. I think the amount is unique to each person. It's whatever you're comfortable with and will help you sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. You know, not only that, but if you think about where you are in the world of, you know, how much cash reserves do you have, how's your portfolio constructed, if you're going to have an emergency fund, keep it in cash.
Yeah, keep it in a savings account, right?
Make sure it's in something that
money market.
Right. Make sure if you know you have an expense coming up within a year, don't be tempted to say, you know, there's this really great little stock that my neighbor next door was telling me about. You just don't do it. Just don't bite.
Yeah. Because make sure it's accessible.
It will not end. It may not end well. But, you know, this is also a time of year, though, before we got on the air, I was talking with Ryan about the so-called January effect. And you'll hear people talk about this. And the January effect, historically, had always been this pattern where in the month of January, the animal spirits were kind of more rampant. People felt a little better and nothing bad had happened so far in the new year, unless you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I guess. And so over the years, small company stocks – these are companies whose market capitalization is generally agreed to be $2 billion or less. That's a floating number, but it's about $2 billion or less. But small company stocks had historically done a little better than big company stocks in January just because it's the new money flowing in. But Ryan, with all the studying that he's done as a chartered financial analyst and an MBA and a CFP and a CPA, he likes numbers a lot. And he did some of his own unique work that says that maybe the January effect isn't what it used to be.
Not all it's cracked up to be, maybe?
Not anymore.
Maybe the effect is wearing off. Yeah, as Chris mentioned, I mean, January effect, small cap stocks outperform large cap stocks in the month of January. The reason, the explanation for this is the fact that in December, investors sell their losers to offset gains they already have. So that puts further pressure on companies that have been poor performers throughout the year, and those typically have been, you know, small cap stocks in December. So I looked at the data back to 1979. And on average, small cap stocks outperformed large cap stocks in the month of January by 0.4%. Not a very big number. And you also have to take in consideration that small cap stocks have higher trading costs. They're less liquid.
It's true.
So this analysis was done with using index data, so it didn't factor in transaction costs. And likely, that gain could be erased through transaction costs. And when you look at, you know, how often did this work? 47% of the time it works. So it's got a less than 50% hit rate in terms of whether you would have made money in those Januaries investing in small cap stocks relative to large cap stocks.
Well, you brought up transaction costs too. I think that would be another thing to put on your resolution list is to keep an eye on your transaction costs.
Always keep an eye on fees, whether it's inside a mutual fund or individual trading costs. It's really critical because they do. They are a drag on the overall return. You know, there's another interesting phenomena taking place too. We made a big deal about this 5 years ago when the first wave of baby boomers was turning 65 and retiring. And what did that mean for financial markets? Well, this year, you know what's happening? Drum roll, please. This is the first year that baby boomers will be compelled to take
money. Start withdrawing.
That's right. Whether they need it or not. The IRS doesn't force people to spend the money, but they do force people to remove it from an IRA account and pay taxes on it, unless it's given directly to charity.
So that's going to be what? About $1 trillion, I would think?
You know, I just happen to have with me here a handy-dandy article from the Wall Street Journal. It's a big pile of money. Let's see here. It's considered money flowing out of, say, $400 billion. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
So you better be thinking about what you're going to do with that lot of money.
It is potentially market-moving. Yeah. Boomers, according to the Wall Street Journal, hold $10 trillion in tax-deferred savings accounts, according to Bank of New York Mellon.
Wow. So something for people to really think about there. Right?
Yeah. Over the next 20 years, the number of people aged 70 or older in this country is expected to double to 60 million people, which is about the population of the entire country of Italy.
Okay. So some final advice here. What else would you concentrate on this year as we start the year? What other things would you think about? Debt reduction?
Always a good, especially if interest rates are going to be heading higher. Debt reduction. If you have not yet locked in a low rate on your first mortgage or your second mortgage, take a look at it right now before rates go higher, because that's a very distinct possibility.
And I would make sure you rebalance your allocation. You know, if your equities are higher than your target, pull them back in line. Don't hesitate to do that.
Mm-hmm. Chris, in terms of debt reduction, that's kind of like building your emergency fund. You can do that a little bit at a time, right? You don't have to chunk into it all at once.
There's no
right?
law that says you have to do it all at once, because if you pay down debt at the expense of liquidity, then you may find yourself having to go back down that same path again. So just be judicious.
Okay. Reallocating is important to you, Ryan. Okay. Mm-hmm. What else would be on your list?
Yeah, I mean, come up with a budget, you know, look at your expenses for 2016, you know, determine if there's any areas that you can save more or cut back or you know.
And that would be like you take a look at your cable or your satellite subscription, how much you're paying for your cell phone, all those newspaper and magazine subscriptions. That's the one that always gets me, because my wife says, "How many of these things do you get?" And I can't tell her for sure because I don't know. I know I get a lot, but that all mounts up.
It's little things. Do you really need all those premium channels? And another thing, there's no law against taking leftovers and bringing your lunch to work. There's no law against that. It's okay to do that. You might get more work done too, in addition to saving money.
So what about health? That's a big thing to think about. Health and wealth go hand in hand, don't they?
Well, they do, and it's amazing how inexpensive some of these blood pressure monitors are now. You can get a good one at your local drugstore with an honest-to-goodness cuff, and it runs on little batteries. They're amazingly inexpensive. That's a good investment,
when you're thinking about budgeting, though, you look at how much am I spending on health care. And if I were healthier, what could I do with that money if I didn't have to spend it?
Well, it's also – you bring up a good point. If you participate in a flexible spending account or a health savings account, don't let that money go to waste. Use it. Make sure that you're going to the dentist. Make sure you're going to the doctor. You know, managing those plans, that's a specialty. I mean, and unfortunately, it's easy to kind of let those assets fall out of sight. But this is a good time to look at your health expenses and see, well, how many times did you go to the doctor? How many times did you go to the dentist last year? What do you figure that you're going to spend so that when enrollment period comes along in the fall, you'll be able to make an informed decision. But this is a good time to start keeping records.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan and Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Foster & Motley investment manager Ryan English and Chris DeSimeo, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. Listeners are reminded that the information provided on today's show is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situations. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Pete Reitmeier was the producer for today's show. Belinda Kai was the assistant producer. Dave Shermer was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. The use of force by police officers has come under national scrutiny during the last several years, but tracking and reporting the number of times an officer uses force varies widely among departments. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll look at local police departments and use of force incidents, and we'll discuss the 2017 Kentucky General Assembly. Seven bills have already been passed and signed into law this session. That's Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.